There was once a captain who was sailing a ship. And he came across a series of small islands. He docked his ship at the first island and got off and walked around. On this island, there were very thin children. They looked emaciated. No roads, no infrastructure, so to speak. The people looked like they were suffering and struggling. And it made the captain sad. So he sailed on to the next island, got off and walked around, and found a very similar situation there. And then he sailed to the third island. Walking around on the third island was different. There were roads. The children looked happy and healthy and well-fed. The people lived in nice-looking huts. There were gardens. People seemed joyful and prosperous. So the captain walked up to one of the men in the village and asked him, "I've been to a number of your nearby islands and everyone looks like they're struggling, but here you all look so happy and well-fed. Why is this? How did this happen?" And the man said, "Oh, this was because of Father Benjamin. Well, I would like to get to know Father Benjamin. Can you take me to where he lives?" the captain asked. "Oh, sure," said the man. He led the captain through some woods to a medical clinic. Beautifully built, clean, nice beds, well stocked with medicine. The man showed him almost every bed and the shelves of medicine. "Isn't this wonderful?" he said. "Father Benjamin helped us build this and get the medicine." The captain said, "This is very impressive, but I still would like to get to know Father Benjamin. Can you take me to where he lives?" The man looked a little puzzled but said, "Oh, sure, I'll take you to where he lives." They went back through the woods and out to the shore. There was an ingenious fish hatchery. They had dug these big holes near the sea, and when the tide came in, the water would rush in and the fish would come in with it, and the fish would swim in these holes, and then the tide would go out and many of the fish were left inside, and the natives would capture the fish and eat them. It was a wonderful system. "Father Benjamin helped us plan this whole thing and dig the holes, and look how we catch the fish," the man explained to the captain. The captain was very impressed, but again, he looked around and couldn't see Father Benjamin and said, "Well, but I still want to get to know him. Take me to where he lives." This time, the native man talked with some of his friends, and they were nodding and thinking, and he said, I know, I'll take you to where he lives." So this time the man led him up a hill, and on the top of the hill there was a beautiful chapel built out of wood and an altar and a cross and a Bible. And the man said, "This is where Father Benjamin teaches us about Jesus." The captain said, "Okay, well, beautiful. This is beautiful. But I want to meet Father Benjamin. I want to look him in the eyes and ask him how this happened." And the native man said, "Oh, you can't do that. Father Benjamin died 3 years ago." And the captain said, "Well, why didn't you tell me that?" And the man said, "Well, you asked me where he lives. He lives in the medical clinic, and he lives at our fish hatchery, and he lives here in our chapel. I thought you wanted to know where he lives." where he lives. Today I want to talk to you about this. This book is where God lives. Now, it's true that God lives all among us and inside of us. But God also lives in a very potent, mysterious, and unique way in this book. Now, as a priest in the Episcopal Church, I have to take a vow at my ordination to read this book every day. It doesn't say how much, but it does say we have to read it every day. Thank God, right? So all of my adult life and much of my childhood, I've been studying and reading this book. And I can say honestly, it is confounding and confusing and frustrating, and it contradicts itself. And it can be boring. Have you ever read Chronicles? But nevertheless, after all that time, I am convinced that God lives in this book like none other. And that if you read it daily, in some fashion, if you touch it and let it sink into your heart in some fashion daily, it will change you. Now, 400 years before the birth of Jesus, the Jewish people were in exile and they were very homesick. They missed their home. The emperor of Persia, Artaxerxes, decided to let some of the people return to Jerusalem and rebuild their temple. Not all of them, but some of them. And he chose this guy, Nehemiah, from whose book Pat read this morning. Nehemiah, you take some of these people and take Ezra, the priest, and you can go back and you can start rebuilding things. So in this beautiful reading from the book of Nehemiah, we hear about how Nehemiah and Ezra gathered the people outside the water gate, and Ezra finds a copy of the Torah, the book, the scripture. And many of the people have never heard it. And Ezra gets in front of everybody and starts to read aloud from the book. And the people are overwhelmed. It's like they're hearing from a long-lost friend. They start crying. They fall down on their knees. And Ezra reads for hours and hours. And they just let those words pour over them like water. And they never forget it, that moment when they rediscovered the Word of God. Now, we believe that everything that Jesus did was a role model for us, right? Let's think for a minute about Jesus' activities from the beginning of his ministry. The first thing he does is to get baptized, right? After his baptism, what does he do? Anybody? He goes where? To the desert. Gets baptized, goes out into the desert where he faces temptation, right? What a good role model for us, right? We start with baptism. Then we got to get ourselves in order. If you don't master your demons and your temptations, you're not going to be a very big help to the world, right? So Jesus gets baptized, faces temptation, says no to it, masters it, figures out who he is. And then the first thing he does after that is he goes home and he reads from this. He stands up in the synagogue, and the prophet Isaiah is handed to him, and back then they were reading from a scroll, so he unrolls the scroll, and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor and release to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free." Then Jesus sits down and says, "Today, this has been fulfilled in your hearing." And the people of Nazareth don't understand. They don't like it. They think he's being presumptuous. In one gospel, they even try to kill him by pushing him off a cliff. But what Jesus was trying to say is that this book comes alive in him. And it comes alive to you, too. One of the great things about having to preach regularly is I have to think about this scripture and then watch as God speaks about the scripture in my life and in your lives. And God does speak. The Holy Spirit speaks through this book and into your lives. There are some days when I open it up and I think, "What the heck was that about? I don't even understand that." But then there are other days where I open it up and I say, "Wow, hit me over the head with a sledgehammer. That was exactly what I needed to hear today." So I want you to think about something, and this is very important. We are living in a time of linguistic transition, a historic transition. And you are being bombarded by words, whether it's emails or advertisements or texts. So I do not want you to try to read a whole book every day. In fact, I think that in this current time, less is more. You know, Americans, we love to stuff ourselves with food, right? And then we forget how good food really is. Don't stuff yourself with this. Savor it. Read a verse a day if you've never read the Bible every day. You know, there's an app you can get on your phone that gives you a verse every day. Well, that's not that hard, right? You look at your phone every day, don't you? So just read the sentence. But read it slowly. Silently. Deliberately. And not while you're driving. And savor it. And let it speak to you. Because these are words of God, they have a resonance. You can meditate on a verse for a week. It won't disappoint you. You won't come to the end of it. It will continue to live and grow inside of you. This book is like an anchor. If you read it every day, you will be anchored in the right way. Even when it frustrates you, even when you disagree with it, that's the mysterious part. Because it's not like a pen came down from heaven and wrote this book. God inspired different people to write different parts of it. But the Holy Spirit lives in it in a way that I will never be able to adequately explain to you, not in this life. So I want you to think about living with it, touching it every day. And talk about it with other people. We have Bible studies here. We have one on Wednesday nights at 6. We have Alan leads one on Thursdays at 11 in the morning. Or talk about it with your spouse or a friend. Find people who can pray with you and meditate on it. You want to know God? God lives in here. Just open the book. Amen.